I am not easily given to tears. There are times when I regret this. Tears, it seems, are one of the socially accepted emotional expressions allowed to almost everyone under the right circumstances. I have friends who are, though. Some of them are the friends who will just sort of cry when everyone else is crying, but I have one or two friends who will cry at the deeply moving TV commercial. So I've learned that this may not be the best thing to hope for, so I've given it up. But I was thinking about all of this and all of the times and the ways and the reasons people cry this week. Because we remember Lazarus. We don't remember, as well at least, all of the other people Jesus raised from the dead, or that come back from the dead in Scripture as a body. There are more than just in the Gospels. But we remember Lazarus, I think because Jesus wept. Because we see Jesus, the God-man, crying in this story. We forget that everyone else was crying and crying first. Maybe Jesus is just one of those criers who's sort of a sympathetic crier. If you're crying, I'll join you. But we know before Jesus started to cry, Mary, Lazarus' sister, and all of the Jews who were with her were crying. But we remember Jesus. We remember these divine human tears on the occasion of a death. Even though some people still ask, as the text does itself, why these tears couldn't have already saved Lazarus. If God is so sad about this, why didn't God just stop it? Even though we hold these tears up as part of the proof that Jesus was human and fully enmeshed in this life as we are, that he would cry when someone died. There are a lot of weight given to these particular tears. Which makes it interesting that Lazarus really doesn't appear before he has to get raised from the dead. In fact, he doesn't get introduced that well to us. If you go back to the beginning of this chapter, you learn that it's Lazarus, the brother of Mary. It's not Lazarus, Jesus' best friend, not Lazarus, the one who had been with him for so long. Nope, he's known by his sister. And as the older sister of two brothers, I've got to tell you, brothers hate that. I have gotten phone calls every time someone has finally known them independently. It's very important not to be the brother of. But Lazarus is. And that's all we have. In John's Gospel, Lazarus appears so that he can die and be resurrected. Unless you keep reading, and then you discover he has a little bit of an appearance in the next chapter, too. See, we might focus on the tears, but the chief priests and everyone else who was so concerned about this Jesus fellow back then really focused on that resurrection problem. That's not something you want the next, you know, rabble-rouser from the countryside to go around doing, bringing people back from the dead. And they get very interested in Jesus at this point in time. It's not an accident that Lazarus's resurrection comes close to Jesus' own death and resurrection. And the chief priests are interested in making that come sooner, or at least quieting down all of these stories. When the problem behind the stories is that the guy who used to be dead is running around talking about it, there's an easy solution. Clearly, Lazarus has to die too, again. But escape that little double jeopardy problem. He was already dead, so how can you murder a dead man? So even though Lazarus has already died, has been resurrected, his life is not out of danger. The closer he came to Jesus, the more danger he wound up in. We don't know what happens to him after that, I like to think he survived. He'd already had a pretty bad week. But we do learn something important in that. Lazarus was loved, presumably by Jesus, who was deeply grieved and cried at his death. He was certainly loved by his sisters, Mary and Martha, both of whom I love for sort of taking Jesus to task. You should have come sooner. You could have saved my brother. And seemingly by all of the Jews around Mary and Martha, who were also crying. It's wonderful to be loved like that, to have that sort of community around us. Today we celebrate All Saints, when we remember that the community around us stretches beyond the people gathered here, beyond all of the people who could ever be gathered here with us. That the community of people who gather around an altar with us on Sunday mornings stretch all the way back to Lazarus and beyond. That we are united in the sort of divine love that produces tears in Christ, which is certainly good news. But it is impossible to remember that on this sort of day without also peeking ahead in the story and remembering that, like Lazarus, coming close to Jesus is not meant to make us safe. It's meant to draw us fully into this community where sometimes people disagree with us, where sometimes hard things happen, and we don't always know how the story ends. We live with that as Christians because this is the sort of life we are called to. Not one of safety, not one of danger, not one of uncertainty. But we're called into the sort of loving life full of divine love and tears that promises to sustain us beyond death. Amen.